Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Genesis chapter 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" This is the text. Throughout this Lenten season, we are turning our attention to the curses of Genesis chapter 3. Every difficulty, every sorrow, every loss can be directly traced to Adam. There are innumerable issues that we now have to deal with every day because of Adam's sin. Tonight, we focus on shame and nakedness. But when you look at Genesis 3, we see that the struggle and toil of our daily work, the pain of childbirth, the list, it goes on and on. It all comes from Adam. On Ash Wednesday, we began with the worst of all the curses, the curse of death. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And those are God's words to Adam and Eve immediately before he makes garments for them and clothes them and covers their nakedness. God is merciful. God's love for Adam did not diminish when sin became the reality. God made Adam to be perfect, and Adam chose sin. He chose to do evil. And God's response is that his love for his human children would now be made even more evident. The promise of the Savior, it's immediate. It's right there. Now, nothing could be done to change the demands of God's law. Justice demands that there is punishment for sin, and the wages of sin is death. And Adam is dust, and to dust he will return. So also now all of his children. That does not change, even with the promise of a Savior, even with the promise of Christ that God gives to Adam and Eve right then and there in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned. Immediately, their nakedness is revealed to them. I mean, they were naked before. That didn't change. But now the law of God has been revealed to them. This is the real problem. When the law was not accusing them, there was no sin. If there's no speed limit, you can't get caught for speeding. You can't get pulled over. Prior to the fall, there was no sin. There was no shame because the law was not in operation in regard to Adam and Eve. They were not under the law. With their fall into sin came the full force of the law. And Adam and Eve look at each other and they feel shame. And they know that they are naked. It is amazing when we look at God's human children, that people who believe in evolution don't make note of the fact that animals don't feel shame and nakedness. I mean, there are people who dress up their dogs and cats in silly outfits, but that's not because they want it to be dressed up. And you look at every people, every tribe, even the deepest Aboriginal tribes, and none of them are comfortable just running around naked, because the law applies to everyone. It should be obvious, self-evident to anyone willing to observe what is going on in the world that this is a result of the curse. This is the result of sin. Adam and Eve look at each other and they feel shame and nakedness where they did not before, because the law was not applying to them. And they try to cover up and hide, just like we do when we break God's law. We always prefer that our shame is hidden and remains hidden, hoping that no one finds out. Maybe God will cover up his eyes. Well, God has a better plan. Adam's shame and nakedness is exposed. It's revealed. He is brought low under the condemnation of the law, and he is made to feel the fullness of his shame. I know you're asking, well, how is this a better plan? I don't want to be brought low. I just want to cruise along under the radar and hope nobody notices. Well, God's plan is better, because cruising along under the radar and avoiding contrition, sorrow for your sin, avoiding repentance, avoiding confession of sin, is buying into Satan's lie that you don't need what God is offering. Adam fell for Satan's lie. Hey, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. You don't need him anymore, because you'll be just like him, knowing good from evil. Well, Satan is still lying to God's children here on earth. He's lying to you. And because of Adam's sin, you need what God is offering all the more. And God knows this. He knew this from the beginning. And that is why he immediately gives Adam the promise that he would send his son as the offspring of the woman, the seed of the woman. The Son of God would take on flesh and he would come down and stomp on the head of Satan. That's the promise that God gives. And this act of saving, it's going to come with a cost. The Lord's heel is going to be bruised, and we know that he suffered a lot more than just a bruised heel. Great harm was going to come to the Son of God. But that was the plan, because God's compassion, his love, his desire to preserve and protect his children, Adam and Eve, meant that he was willing to suffer loss, to suffer harm, so that they would not just become dust and fall under judgment for all eternity. The plan was for a second Adam to come, to do what the first Adam failed to do. And Jesus would keep the law perfectly. And as he says in the Sermon on the Mount, I have not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. Of course, Jesus does not want to abolish the law, because the law in and of itself is good. The law of God expresses God's will. And even after the resurrection, when we are enjoying paradise for all eternity, the law of God will still be applying, but we will have no desire to break it. But God's will that we do not kill one another, do harm to one another, that we don't steal from one another, that we don't speak ill of one another, that we recognize there is only one God, that we don't misuse God's name, that we don't covet what other people have. This, of course, is God's good and gracious will. And we will experience it for all eternity, but in the perfection that Adam and Eve had at the beginning, without the threat of ever falling once again. And what a blessing that will be. So Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And with the law fulfilled, the law can no longer point its finger of guilt at God's redeemed children. Not even a speeding ticket, not even the smallest bit of guilt will be applied to any of us, because Christ has fulfilled in full God's will and law. And the cost for doing this would be great. He would be beaten. He would be whipped. He would be mocked by the Pharisees and the priests and the soldiers. He would be nailed through his hands and his feet to the wood of the cross. And as St. Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. It's from Galatians chapter 3. We read that together just a few moments ago. And Jesus would wear a crown of thorns, and he would wear nothing else. I know the artists all depict him with the loincloth as he's hanging on the cross. But he would be crucified in the shame of his nakedness, because that's how the Romans did it. You did not get to have any comforts. You were meant to be humiliated. Jesus would be crucified with the full curse of sin. Jesus would be on the cross, suffering shame and nakedness, along with everything else that comes with crucifixion. Everything that was lost or spoiled by Adam, all of the burden of guilt, all of the curses that came into God's creation, they were reversed through Jesus' death and resurrection. Just like the first curse we looked at on Ash Wednesday, death has no hold on you. Christ has freed us to live for all eternity. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Just as he is risen from the dead, so shall we. So also you have been freed from shame. And you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ himself. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.